Hey, Lauren, welcome to the Invest HQ podcast. How's it going?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I appreciate it. I know I'm sitting here in New York and you're all the way in London, correct?
Yes, I absolutely love New York so much. So I'm a little bit envious right now.
That's awesome. When's the last time you came by here?
I literally was there a couple months ago. I love it so much. Seriously, I really want to move out to the States, but it's just getting a visa is pretty hard for us Brits.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's so cool. And I feel the other way. I feel like I want to go to London so bad.
Yeah, come visit. We can do some sightseeing,
I would love to. Yeah, I've never been there. But yeah, awesome. Definitely glad for us to connect. I know we've been in talks for a few months now. So great to have you. For our listeners, I'd love to start off with you talking a little bit more about your background, your origin story, and just how you came onto the scene.
So gosh, I mean, where to go? I'm only 21, so there's not too much to cover, fortunately. But in the space of about 4 years, I must admit, I've done quite a lot. I've dabbled with a few different things. So perhaps I'll just start with when I was at school. I was always interested in business. I was super, super motivated with my work. I loved economics, politics. I studied French as well, so I was into languages, and I just always wanted to do as best as I possibly could in my exams. And so pretty much what happened was I was supposed to be going to university to study economics and politics at a university called the University of Bath, which is a really good uni in the UK. And I decided when I was 18, I actually didn't want to go straight to college. I wanted to do a few months working in industry. So long story short, I managed to get a job through some government scheme here in the UK at a FTSE 250 company. So one of the top 250 companies traded on the London Stock Exchange. It's like a really good company working in asset management. And long story short, I hated it. I realized at this point that the corporate world wasn't for me, and that I'm one of these people that, I just got to be self-employed, and I got to kind of live my dreams. And ever since the day that I handed in my notice, which by the way was the day after I got my big old cash bonus, I pretty much have been just working every single day in order to get closer to living this dream life, and for every single day to be a day where I jump out of bed in the morning because I'm excited about the day that is to come. And honestly, I have managed to create that for myself. I absolutely love this life that I've created, and it's just all been kind of through building up my personal brand through the use of social media. And I've just seen that, me as just an everyday normal girl, just an average person, just through the kind of consistency and through really sharing my message and through helping people with the things that I really care about, helping them with and the things that I'm good at, it's just enabled me to create this life for myself. So yeah, then I went to university. I changed my course from economics and politics to a business course, which is actually the number one business course in the UK, and I dropped out of that. So yeah, basically one of these people where I try everything and I try to kind of do the normal, but I've just realized that I don't want to live a normal life. I don't want to live a life of just mediocrity. I want to live a life of so much more than that. So I guess that's a little bit about me. So here I am today, just living my life through doing stuff on the internet.
No, that's awesome. That's great. So I'd love to go a little bit back to what you were saying, closer to when you were leaving your asset management job, right? Everyone I feel in our track kind of has always starts off with, as you mentioned, like the normal path, right? The typical job path. And so what factors kind of arose where you realized that this what perhaps wasn't for you? Or when do you remember like when this idea started getting conceived that, hey, maybe I need to try something else, or maybe I might be more entrepreneurial.
So I liked about the first month, I'd say, and I really did enjoy it. I thought it was cool, doing something new, something fun. The fact I was only 18 was really cool because everyone was like, whoa, she's 18 and she's managed to get this job, which was unheard of in that kind of industry because all the other people that were working there were kind of 50s and above, I'd say. So yeah, it was kind of crazy. And then I guess one really vivid memory for me is, so I used to have to get on the train at 6:01. That was the time of my train in the morning. And I don't mind waking up at that time, being up at that time when you're doing something you love and when you're excited to go to work. But I remember it was winter, so I started the job in September. This was probably about the end of October, and I was walking to work. It was absolutely pouring it down with rain. And I just remember bursting into tears because a lorry drove past me, like a big truck, and splashed me. The puddle splashed me as he drove past. And I was absolutely soaking wet. I couldn't go home to get changed because, you know, I had to catch my train. And I honestly, I just remember bursting into tears. And that at that moment, I was just like, I need to do something about this. And in my mind, I was always like, right, I'll keep going until the day I get my bonus. Keep going, keep going. And so I managed to actually last in that job for 8 months.
Yeah.
But looking back, I mean, I always say, you know, never regret anything. But looking back, if I were to change one thing, it would have been not waiting until that quote unquote perfect time, because, you know, it was a couple of extra grand, which was that when I was 18, that was a lot of money for sure.
Yeah.
But looking back, it's not worth the amount of hours of just hating my life that occurred exactly. during that time. And so, yeah, I think that was a massive, massive pivotal moment for me. Just seriously, this big truck just driving past me. I honestly, it was pitch black and I was just drenched, just like, oh, it was so bad.
Wow. That, you know, what's funny though is that for me, it was also the commute that got to me. It was the commute that I just saw. For me, it was about an hour and a half each way. And yes. That's when, exactly, yeah, that's when, like, you're just thinking in the morning, like, why am I doing this? What is going on? You know, so that I can definitely relate to that. So yeah, for all listeners who are in a similar position, right? Maybe they're doing a commute that they don't enjoy. They don't enjoy the job that they're going for or working at. They want a career change. How did you start planning the exit, right? When you realize, okay, I got to do something else. Did you have a mentor? How did you know that, okay, I can make an income through other means?
So I guess this is a little bit different for me than perhaps some of the listeners, because I, at the point that I actually left my job, I was only 19 years old.
Yeah.
So it was before I'd ever even gone to college or university or got a degree or whatever. Mm. And by the way, I still don't have my degree because obviously I dropped out. So yeah. I never actually finished my university course. Yeah, pretty much. I think, yeah, for me, it was different because I didn't have responsibilities. Now, if there's anybody listening to this who does have responsibilities, for example, they're married, they've got kids, they have people relying on them for income, then it's going to be totally different for you. For you, I would say, you know, you need to make sure that you already have other sources of income coming to you. And it's kind of at a stage where it's almost predictable each month. Uh-huh. Because for me, I didn't need to pay the bills. I wasn't paying rent. I was paying petrol for my car, but realistically I didn't need that because I could walk to the places that I needed to go if I needed to, or to get the train or whatever. So it wasn't a situation where I had people relying on me. So for me, I honestly, it was the biggest thing was kind of just actually realizing that I wanted to commit something and just getting in my head that the time was right rather than putting it off and off and off. So for anybody who was maybe in a similar position to me or who already does have the other sources of income in place, it's just about believing in yourself and knowing what you're going to do when you quit. Because let's say you quit your job on a Monday, you're going to wake up on the Tuesday and you're going to have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And so you need to like have a solid plan of action. Honestly, I would even write it out day by day what you're going to do. You're going to wake up and just visualize that day. How is that day going to look? What are the projects and the tasks that you're going to be working on every single day in the next kind of unknown, let's say the next quarter, so the next 3 months. And so just having a good idea. So perhaps you want to bring out a course. Well, maybe, you know, you could start outlining your course before you've even quit your job, so that when it comes to actually quitting your job, you know exactly what you're going to be doing that first day of freedom. You're going to be working on lecture one from your first module of your course. Or maybe, you know, you're building your online presence up. It's all about having solid action steps in order to know what you're going to do, because you don't want to just be sitting there twiddling your thumbs, wasting time, because that's going to be time when you're earning absolutely no money. And if you're going to be having, if you have to pay bills and stuff, which let's be real, all of us have to, then you can't waste your time like that, because you need to figure out how to make money somehow.
Definitely. I agree. And so how did you, your first year, right? Once you left, you know, you had a little bit of an advantage because you didn't need to pay any immediate bills, but still, how did you figure out what to do next? Like, a lot of people don't even know, you know, how they understand that people are making money online, but they don't know how those people are doing it. They feel like they can't do it Did you have any courses or mentors, or what kind of inspired you to be able to start, you know, making money on social media? Or could you give me a little bit more about your first year and how you got started into it?
Yeah, 100%. So first thing to note is that I've actually never had a mentor, and it's something that I'm looking for now, because I mean, I don't know, I've been very fortunate in the sense that I've always surrounded myself with really, really, really smart, intelligent people. I listen to a ton of podcasts and I love educating myself, but mentoring and just getting a mentor and a coach, a business coach, something that I'm looking at now. So I'm actually starting to work with kind of Facebook ads coaches and funnel coaches, just so that I can really learn these skills myself. So yeah, that's something to note. So I've actually just kind of been fortunate in the sense that I'm quite lucky that, and I can pick things up pretty easy. But that's something that I would seriously recommend, because I think a lot of people maybe find things and concepts hard to grasp, because when you can't grasp something and you can't understand something, then you definitely can't implement it. Yeah. So that's a really, really, really fundamental thing. But okay, so now backtracking a little bit to your question. For me, actually, so it's funny what you said, when you quit your job, what did you do in the first year? So I've actually quit a corporate job twice.
Okay.
The first one was the one in asset management. And yes, when I quit that job when I was 19, I actually had the backup plan, as it were, of going to college. So I then went, I think it was April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, so about 5 months after, I then started my degree. So I did my degree for a year. And while I was doing my degree, so like ages of 19 and 20, I was building up my personal brand on social media. And so I actually was producing fitness content that was helpful to my audience, totally free content. And then around about April of my first year of university, I brought out my first ebook. So I only ever did ebooks for the first 18 months, let's just say, and to be honest, that was only a year ago now. So yeah, that was when I brought out my first ebook, I'd say about a year ago now. And then within the next 3 months, I'd say I brought out another one. And then within the next 8 months, I brought out another ebook. So I was making the majority of my money from ebooks and also through doing sponsored posts through companies and affiliate marketing. So I was doing affiliate marketing, but only for kind of one-off products, not for something such as a subscription website or for a course or something, which is now the type of affiliate marketing that I would do. Rather, like, I was doing it for, let's just say, like protein powder, because a lot of my audience was in the fitness industry, so that worked well. However, now I would kind of say to anyone who's wanting to start trying to build up an income online is kind of look towards maybe becoming an affiliate for courses or a membership site or for kind of SaaS products, so software as a service, because these are either, you know, for a course, it's going to be a higher ticket item, so you'll actually earn more money. Or if it's software as a service, it's a monthly income that you'll get, or a membership site, it's a monthly income. So that's why these products I'd recommend more for affiliate marketing. But of course, you can only do the affiliate marketing once you've built up your personal brand. So for me, it was really about building up my social media following and, you know, having them to be followers who really, really loved what I was doing. Not just because, you know, social media following is just like a number next to your name. You want them, these people, to be raving fans. You want these people to really care about what you say.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you want them to be your people. So I honestly worked my butt off producing valuable content that was useful and helpful for them before I ever even tried to start selling anything, because I knew that this was the way that I was gonna build a real tribe of people that really, really cared, because that's what it's all about long term. Really, seriously, I wasn't even thinking about kind of how can I sell to them, what can I sell to them. That came later, that came after the demand was there.
I see.
So I think, yeah, it does come down to kind of build that follower base up, and then I'd say kind of bring out your products on top of that. That's the way that I would advise doing it, and that's
got it. That's awesome. So yeah, what I'd like to know also though is how you went from, you know, what you had to do was the ebooks, you had to take the videos, you had to do the social media marketing. Did you learn through podcasts? Did you learn through certain online courses? Like, I feel like one of the biggest points of resistance for people is them feeling like they can't do it. How did you overcome that hurdle?
Yeah, I really think that's a big problem that a lot of people how they think. They see these figures on the internet and they're like, oh, this person already has 150,000 followers, so they're totally different to me. They have something that I don't have. Mm-hmm. But it's not true. It's about honestly realizing that these people that you see on social media aren't celebrities. They aren't, you know, aliens.
Yeah.
They are normal, everyday people. And the only difference between you and them is that they work their butts off. They put in the effort. They care about helping people. And so for me, it's, I am obsessed with learning. I am obsessed with bettering myself. And I haven't always been this way. You know, I didn't used to be like this. Back when I was 15, 16, I didn't really care. I mean, I would just waste so much time. Whereas now I like to spend my time as efficiently as possible. Uh-huh. Even when I'm eating, I'll be listening to a podcast that's educating me in some way.
Yeah.
Or I'll be watching a video from a course that I've enrolled in. But the biggest and best way that I have found to be learning is through kind of just seeing what other people are doing and then trying it for myself. It's all about trial and error and not being afraid to kind of invest in yourself. A lot of times I've been so scared because I've seen a course is worth, let's just say, $2,000. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much money. I'm so afraid to spend this money. But then I spend the money and I earn it back within a week or even less through the things that I've learned inside that course. And so then I realized, okay, I want to be able to create the same exact thing for my students, and I want them to be able to kind of, you know, gain so much that is invaluable to them. So yeah, I think, like, honestly, I think trial and error is going to be one of your best ways to learn, to any of the listeners out there. And also just realizing, you know, you need help with some things. You can't do absolutely everything yourself, because I sure as hell have been one of these people where I'm like, oh, I'll just try to figure out that for myself. And I honestly spent about, I don't know, over a week trying to figure out how to make one Facebook ad and then messing it up and spending so much extra money on the Facebook ad that I didn't need to spend, because if I had just learned how to do it right the first time, it could have saved me all that money and time. Yeah. You know, it's all like this. So it's just about realizing, okay, some people are experts in some things. Some people are experts in other things. You are an expert in your expertise.
Yeah.
And so just find other people who can help you with the other things. And outsourcing has been a real struggle for me. It's been a real scary thing for me, because I must admit I'm a bit of a control freak and I like to make sure that everything's perfect.
Yeah.
But it's so valuable in the long term. So valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. That's awesome. So tell me what led you to set up your most recent course, The Impact Through Influence. Could you give us a little bit of backstory on that and what it's about?
Yeah, definitely. So Impact Through Influence is a personal branding course, and it's essentially going to be able to take people from having absolutely no personal brand, or just like a very, let's just say, an average person who is, let's say you're in a corporate job, but you have a real passion for fitness and you want to do fitness coaching online and you want to be able to become a quote unquote fitness influencer and be paid to speak around the world, travel around the world, do fitness retreats around the world. In the world of fitness. It's basically going to teach you the things that you need to know in order to get from nothing to that influencer kind of space. Because building your personal brand is something that stays with you for life. And it's something that anybody who's creating courses or who's doing online business honestly needs nowadays.
Yeah.
I think it used to be kind of the thing where people who had a big personal brand, they were authors and they were people who were, you know, business owners and CEOs.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, everybody does have a personal brand, of course. But now people want to start building their personal brand online because it can open up so many opportunities for them, thanks to the internet. Because on the internet, if you build up your social media following, so many opportunities come your way. It's already a platform for you to start selling things. So let's say you have 100,000 followers on your Instagram page or your YouTube, then that's 100,000 people that you can already just post some, you can make an Instagram post or a YouTube video, and 100,000 people are your potential customers.
True.
So it's all about finding out how to create a tribe of raving fans who really care about your message. Because it's all well and good building up a social media following, posting provocative photos and posting, you know, the type of random stuff we see nowadays with some of these social media influencers. But to build a real business and a profitable business that's earning you six figures a month, then you want to be doing it in a way that is really, really educating your audience. You want to be doing it in a way that is finding your people. And it's all about kind of So Impact Through Influence is kind of all about making sure that you find your 1,000 true fans. So Kevin Kelly is a man who made a blog post called, it was just called 1,000 True Fans.
Yeah.
And it basically talks about how you can make a very profitable income from just 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it's all about, because people think you need hundreds of thousands and millions of followers to be making a lot of money online. But that is far from it. Yeah. I have seen people who have, you know, 1,000, 2,000 followers who are earning seven figures.
Wow.
Because they know how to do it. And this is exactly what I aim to teach in Impact Through Influence. And my students have already been having awesome results, not only with building their social media following numbers, but also with monetizing and actually attracting, for example, coaching clients. Because they might be, a lot of people who are enrolled are in the fitness industry just because a lot of my followers are, you know, fitness industry type people, but I also have life coaches, and you know, they're now able to attract much higher paid clients because they really are very clear with their message. So there's 14 modules inside the course, and so it's super in depth, but it's one of those things where there's so much to cover when it comes to personal branding, and people get so confused. So I've just set it out in a way where there's action steps along the way, and where you know exactly what to do, because it can be super, super overwhelming, and people are a bit confused when it comes to growing their social media following, because they think it's all a numbers game, but it's not a numbers game. It's an engagement game and a loyalty game, and you want your followers to essentially be the most loyal. You want to be top of mind in your industry. And so that's pretty much what I teach.
Wow, that's awesome. Great. No, I appreciate that. You know, you're kind of giving us that breakdown of how that came about, Impact Through Influence. At InvestHQ, we believe in all aspects of investing. So, you know, definitely investing in yourself. I know you have, you know, you started off with, especially, you know, building your own tribe with your fitness content. And, you know, I know you continue to do so. I know you're moving now more into the business landscape. And I just wanted to talk to you about perhaps what your take is on the investing landscape. I believe you had done some videos on crypto or the stock market. How do you view it right now, and what is your take on everything that's going on in that world? Doing a little bit of a reframe right now, but talking more about the investing landscape, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I guess it's April 2018 right now, and so the crypto market had its mad kind of bubble, as it were. So it grew like crazy and then just popped. At the moment, I think, honestly, I mean, I must admit, my mind has been taken away from crypto, like totally crypto, and more to kind of the whole blockchain as a whole, and it's what it can do for kind of data protection and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I'm one of these people now where I'm focusing so much on building my courses and making sure that my courses are so high quality for my students that I've now just kind of got to the mindset where I am just investing and holding my money rather than trading, because I think that I'm one of these people where I love trading. I love it so much. And in the long term, it's something that I want to do a lot more of. But at this stage of my life, I just have so much that I want to give to my students that I feel like, you know, it's not my number one area of expertise. So I don't want to be talking about it too much before I can, because I don't want to kind of be putting stuff out into the public before I have a really, really certain view on it.
Absolutely.
So at the moment, focusing on my courses, and then with regards to investments, I'm just investing in things like funds just for the long term.
Yeah.
I'm into kind of, you know, I mean, let's be real, we've all invested in Amazon and just kind of that type of thing.
Yeah.
And like, I think the whole kind of world of voice technology, I think, is going to be big as time goes on. But I mean, I must admit, it's just one of these things where I invest a certain percentage of my monthly income and I just hold it rather than trading. That's I guess, obviously, you asked about invest, so I'm more of a
got it. Okay, awesome. Now, as we're reaching kind of the end of the show, I love to ask this question. So take a second if you need to think about it, but if older Lauren, right, in 5 years in the future, if an older Lauren was looking at you now, what would she say and what advice would she give?
Okay, so I'm 26 years old right now, that means. So I think the first thing is going to be like, move to the States right now. Because it's one of those things that I really need to do. I just need to get my visa, you
I
know?
see, I
Okay,
see.
so I'm also 20, so 26. Another thing is, I guess, like, just actually make time for your free time. Like, make a bit more free time for yourself. Don't focus on so much work. And that's probably a bit of a counteractive thing that a lot of listeners are hearing me say right now, but I am a massive workaholic and I find it very hard to take time off. So I think 26-year-old Lauren looks back to 21-year-old Lauren and says, take a little bit more time off and just stop worrying about work the whole entire time and just learn that actually taking some time out is going to be good for you long term, especially mental health wise, because mental health is equally as important as physical health. Other things, yeah, I guess that's probably the biggest thing for me. Like, I would honestly say, you know, taking more time for myself. And yeah, I think that's going to be the number one takeaway.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Could you let us know and our listeners know where people can find you and maybe learn more about you, your social media presence, and your course and podcast?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, I guess you're listening to a podcast right now. So for anyone that's also maybe that you have a business that's in the fitness industry or the mindset industry or kind of just like health in some way, then I have a podcast called The Business Meets Fitness Podcast. I also have a YouTube channel where I talk, it's a lot of vlogs, but it kind of shows like day in the life of an entrepreneur, some kind of like, I also talk about kind of social media tactics, tips for growing your following to actually build like your personal brand and all that stuff. So that's just my name, Lauren Tickner. And then my Instagram is at Lauren Tickner as well. I use Twitter, but not really that much. So let's just ignore that one. And I also have a new podcast coming out soon for any of my millennials who are listening out there. But yeah, so I'll be announcing that on my channels, but it's going to be called Millennial Air.
Okay, perfect. Oh wow, that's an awesome name. That's
Yeah,
I
it's a bit
love
of a tongue twister though. That's the only issue, but I like it.
that. Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'll link to all of those in the show notes for all the listeners.
Sweet.
But awesome, Lauren. This was great. I very much appreciate it. I know you were talking to a colleague of mine, but I'm so happy we were able to connect. And I'm sure we'll be able to work a lot to more in the future together.
Oh yeah, courses full
Yeah.
in.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you
Love
so much. I'm gonna let you have your day back. Thank you again for coming on to our podcast.
it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Definitely. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.